Today on Real Radio.
Love is a natural display of having been born of God. And I'm talking about God's love, not the love of the world. When he says beloved, that is all the brothers and sisters in Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Have you ever heard the term God is love? Sort of a declaration, if you will. I'm sure you have. But do you know where to find that in Scripture? Do you know what the author meant by it? Is it often misunderstood or taken out of context? Well, of course, John is the one who in his gospel referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It seems John the apostle had, well, let's say, particular insight into not just love per se, but divine love. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson taken from a section in 1 John chapter 4. It's called Loving Like God.
Loving like God, that's what we're called to do. That's what is incumbent upon the believer, is to love like God. And you might say, man, is it possible? No, of course not. That's totally impossible. We cannot love like God unless God dwells within us. We cannot love like God unless the Holy Spirit is at work by the Word of God changing our lives. In 1 John 4:7-11, this is really the second portion of three distinct areas of this chapter. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, you know it well, John is talking about that there is a war, there is a deception, there is false doctrine and false prophets that would come against, ultimately, the love of God. In verses 7 through 11, we see this evening that there is an encouragement for us to be involved in brotherly love, that we are to actually practice brotherly love. Now, I may be preaching to the choir here tonight because you guys, honestly, I'm not saying this because I happen to be among you, but I hear it from people all over the place about how loving you people are. And I got to tell you, sometimes I have to watch out because I hear it and I go, praise the Lord. Oh, really? Praise the Lord. And I'm thinking, amen. You know, that's awesome. And it is awesome. It's the work of God. When guest speakers come and when they leave, they'll leave me a note, or they'll call me later, or they'll call my house and leave a message. And it's always just wonderful things about how you love them and encourage them and bless them. I love to hear it. It's fantastic. So again, I may be preaching to the choir tonight, but we can all hear a little exhortation and encouragement about loving the brothers and the sisters in Christ. That's verses 7 through 11. And then in verses 12 to 21, we'll see that next week. And that is that we should be living an energetic and expressive life of love toward God and toward one another. We'll see that next week. Now listen, starting next week, we're going to go through the close of this book, chapter 5, the remainder of chapter 4 and chapter 5 rather quickly. And the reason why is because chapters 4 predominantly and all of chapter 5 recap what he has made by way of statements, teachings, and declarations in the first three chapters. So just thought I'd let you know that in advance. The Apostle John, who is the author of this book, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. The Apostle John is also the one who wrote the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation. And what's very interesting about John the Apostle is that it seems to be the most meaningful revelation to John was that God loved him. He was blown away with that truth, that God loved him. Now, wouldn't you think that if you were the co-author, I say by human means, of course it was given by Jesus Christ, but John is the one who's recording the book of Revelation. Don't you think that maybe that book alone would overwhelm you and that would be maybe end times your most exciting topic? That wasn't John's most exciting topic. John's most exciting topic was God loved him. That the Lord loved him. I love John chapter 21. It's rather comical because it says there concerning the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that Peter and John were, you know, very key figures and the finding out of what was going on. When they were running there to the tomb of Jesus, the empty tomb, it says, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him, who also had leaned on Jesus' breast in the upper room and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? This is John. John's gospel. John's the author. He's writing it. He says, you know, concerning the resurrection and us running to it, Peter turned around, and rather than him saying, he looked at me, John. He didn't mention his name. He says, Peter turned around and looked at the one whom Jesus loved. Did you get that? And if you have any doubt about it, he's also the one, he's talking of himself, who had his ear upon Jesus' chest at the Last Supper. Can you imagine having your ear on someone's chest? What do you hear? Yeah, you hear the heart. You hear the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. That had to be awesome. But what a thing to say. He was so confident. He didn't say, I'm the one who had all the great, awesome revelations. I saw angels. I saw streets of gold. He said, I'm the one whom Jesus loves. Don't you think you can say that about yourself? Can you? You know, you ought to be able to. If you can't, then maybe you need to meditate on that truth a little bit more, because it's true. Wow, I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves? Yeah, it's true. It's an awesome thing to realize. So as we look into our study this evening, we'll pick it up in verse 7, John chapter 4. He says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is an inseparable union that John is arguing here between divine love, listen, divine love, Christian fellowship, and the death of Christ. That's what sums up these few verses, that there's a divine love that he's talking about, that there's Christian fellowship, we'll talk about that more tonight, and the death of Christ, which makes it all possible. So in your note-taking, jot down this evening what God is at the top of your paper. What God is. Now, he's a lot of things. We know that God is light, says the scriptures. We know that God is love, as we'll see tonight. And the scripture in various places mentions it, of what God is and his characteristics. Tonight, in verses 7 and 8, look with me to the first point, and that is what God is. He is divine love. He is divine love. When he says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He says in verse 8, he who does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. Now listen, if you're involved in the New Age movement, you know something about this. You'll hear this, love is God. Maybe you've seen bumper stickers, or maybe you've seen little cards in the little space cadet kind of stores that have these things, you know. Love is God. God is all. All is God. We're just all a bunch of lovers. We're all a bunch of gods, and we're all really cool. No. Listen, love is not God. But God is love. And here is where you and I need to be taught. And that is the love that we think in this world, and the love that we so often traffic in and think that is love. Oh, look, he sent her that card. Oh, he loves her. And you know, sounds good. And what are you supposed to say? He sent her the card, and, you know, you don't want to be a party pooper. But, you know, those of us who are guys, we kind of sit back. We don't get excited about hearing that kind of stuff because we begin to think, yeah, right. You know, not that the guy's insincere. It's just that it's rare when a guy's sincere. More often, it's insincere. So the guys who have been around a while start thinking, oh, why did he send her that card? You know, and you start thinking. Any dads in here? Come on, raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody, you know, writes your daughter a note. What is that? It's a note. What's it say? He says that I'm the nicest person in the world. Right! I mean, you are, dear, but, you know, what's the motive to this stuff? Well, there's this thing called love that the world talks about. Oh, I just love her. Well, if you loved her, then there would be certain things attributed to your activities regarding your love of her. You wouldn't force her if you love her. You'd want the best for her. In fact, if you loved her, realizing that you're not the best for her because you realize you do love her, that you'll step out of the picture because you love her. Because you're not the best for her. You see? As a father, I see it perfectly fine. These kinds of things. There's the love of the world, which if we're not schooled in Christian love, we're going to say, that's great. Oh, look, he said or she said or they said they love one another. That's great. And you say, Jack, are you discouraging and putting down the love that people have one for another? I'll say this as we get into the study, that just because someone loves someone else, is that the answer? Is that the sum of it all? Absolutely not. If you are not living and loving with the love of God, I don't care how much you are intensified upon that person, it is at best the love of the world. It's the best the world can offer. But it's not God's love. There is a divine love. So in verse 7, we see something about this divine love, and that is love is a natural display of having been born of God. And I'm talking about God's love, not the love of the world. When he says beloved, that is all the brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're born again, you can circle the word beloved and say, that's me. You can put your name right above or on the side or below that verse. Me. Jack. Let us love one another. You can put your name in there. Betty. Let us love one another. It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Love is a natural display of having been born of God. This is what happens to a real, true, converted believer. They begin to love. And it's very fun when you see some really hardened people who, when God comes into their hearts, they begin to get lovey. They get lovey. They get this agape going, that's the love of God in their heart, and they start getting kind of funny. You start seeing, you know, these... You know, maybe the woman looks like some kind of a, you know, prison guard or something, or maybe the man is the size of a mountain, or he's got a stern look. And then God steps into their heart, and they begin to get soft. They begin to say, well, you know, and like Peter was a huge, big, clumsy guy. Yet nobody uses the word precious more in the Bible than Peter. Isn't that funny? Can you imagine this big guy come up? Oh, that's precious. That's just precious. Look, John, it's a precious sunset. That would have been Peter. He says precious all the time. What is this big guy talking like that for? He's been touched by the love of God. Well, Jack, are you saying I'm going to turn into some kind of a weirdo? No, but you become very, very in tune. And really, I mean this in a good way, using this word sensitive, which could be a bad word. Sensitive to the things that are good regarding God. The love of God begins to be maturing in your heart. This is what God does. The love of God. He says, let us love each other, one another. And it's an amazing word, to let us love. The word means to release, to let go, or to activate the love of God that's in our lives. It assumes, Christians, are you listening? It assumes that the love of God is in us and it needs to get out. Well, do you mean that I need to express myself? Oh, maybe, yeah. In the context of God's love. Let us love one another. I thought about this message. And quite frankly, I was thinking, Lord, if you want to turn off all the power in the building or whatever, the microphone breaks or whatever, and we can't preach this message out loud like this, you know what? That would be fine, because at this point, we need not go any further. Because the meaning of the word, let us love one another, means to get up and do it. And I thought about, you know what? This church service ought to be something different than the norm regarding this verse. We ought to get up and just love one another. And people are, oh no, you're not going to have us do that, are you? You know, people are like going, I told you we shouldn't have come tonight. There's men right now saying, we should have stayed and watched the Lakers. No. You shouldn't have, because when the rapture happens, look around. You're going to be going up. The people who stayed and watched the Lakers lose tonight, I don't know if that was a good thing. No, I actually prayed, Lord, if anyone's going to ditch church tonight for the Laker game, may the Lakers lose. That's how I prayed. Yeah. Think about it. Where are their priorities, you know? God, Lakers. God, Lakers. Lakers. Well, then, may the rapture be tonight, huh? Amen. That's what I think. Anyway, it's not important. God's love, let us. It means to let it start flowing from us. Let's start doing it. And again, I'm saying that I'm preaching to the choir because you guys are so loving. But we need to do that thing. We need to start finding out. You know, some of us come in here and sit down and go out. We don't even know who we're sitting around. We need to break the ice right there. How do we love one another? First of all, if necessary, it's not always necessary, but if necessary, get their name. You know, you can bless them without knowing their name. But it's kind of nice to say, hi, my name, you know, and give them your name, and hopefully they'll love you back by, you know, getting your name and praying for you. Let us love. Again, it assumes that it's within us, the love of God, the beloved, who are brothers and sisters in Christ, to let the love start flowing from our hearts because God has poured it out upon us, as we'll see as we get into this study. James chapter 2, verse 8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law, listen, the royal law, that superseded the Ten Commandments, by the way. The royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He says, you do well. Well, what the royal law, what is the royal law? Not written on stone. The royal law is the love of God. You want to fulfill the law? You don't have to memorize the first Ten Commandments. You just have to love one another. You have to worry about it. You won't be worried about committing adultery or erecting a graven image and worshiping some other assumed God. You won't even go that route because you'll love God and you'll love one another. And you won't have to worry about these things. The love of God. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Beloved, let us love one another. To love one another, it's obviously with a clear intent that those who we know are blessed. Do we know someone? Then we should be loving them. If I would love you tonight as Jesus has loved me, then a relationship between you and I would not only be formed, but it could never be stopped. If I would love you tonight like Jesus loves me, nothing could separate our relationship. Do you understand that? I'm not saying this to make a little filler of a statement here. Do you realize how true this is? That if I loved you and you loved me like Jesus loves us, there's nothing that could come in between our relationship. Nothing. No mood, no slander, no gossip, no nothing. Nothing. If we love each other like Jesus loves us, there is no weapon that can come against our relationship. So you do really believe that? I'll tell you how much I believe it. God loves me so much that I am convinced that He will not allow anything to come into our relationship one with another, me and Him, Him and I. He will not allow it to happen. I may break the deal, but He won't. He loves me that much. He's maintaining my and His, our relationship right now by the grace of God. It's awesome to think. Well, what about one another? This is what the whole point of what John is teaching. You and I should give every bit of effort to the point of spiritual sweat to love each other. And do you realize that if somebody came up, I'm looking around, you know, right now, if somebody came up and said, hey, Rob, or hey, Jack, do you know that Rob said, or do you know that Jack said, or you know, hey, Karen, do you know that Phyllis said, and you could just say, hey, you know, you can stop that right there. Because you know what? This is going against the love of God. It's divisive. It's wrong. It doesn't do anything but tear down. I don't need to hear that garbage because you know what? I know that I love Rob, or Rob loves me, or Karen loves Philip, or Phyllis, or and goes, you know. It just doesn't matter. Because you know what? Love hopes. Love endures all things. Would to God that all Christians around the world would just happen to rise up to this truth, to let the love of God that is locked within our heart by the Holy Spirit's indwelling, let it out. And I'm not talking about some flowery, goofy thing. I'm talking about when somebody comes up and says, man, did you hear about so-and-so? They're really sick or they're really in trouble. You know what? Hey, real quick, let's pray real fast, okay? Let's pray real quick and then get down to the store and buy them some food. Or let's pray and let's go over there and whatever it might be. Do it. Do the love of God. John 13:1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to go back to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the end. Wow, I love it. Also, verse 7, we see here that God's love characterizes those who know God. This is something that the Christian is marked by. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Three key words. Number one, love. For love is of God. Love. The agape of God. God's love. Not earthly love. God's love. Everyone who loves, agape love, is born. Born out of God. Born from God. We are born from the world, but then we need to be born again or born from God. So those who are born again have the love of God in them. And listen, and knows God. The word in the Greek is gnosko, experiential. They have experienced the reality of God. Listen, this may raise an eyebrow or two. Listen carefully. Don't misunderstand me. There are a lot of people who say they know God. They say they know God. And you have no way of testing or knowing that until time goes by and you see if they A, love God, B, love people. Do they love people? Do they love God? Time will tell. Gnosko, to know God. If you know God by experiential knowledge of God, that is, you have come to know Jesus and you come to see that his word of God is powerful and that works in and out of your life and that you fellowship with God's people and all the things that are wrapped up in our Christian relationship with one another and with God. This person knows that they've been born again, and they know God, and because that's true, they are letting out. You know, in my mind's eye, I see a fisherman letting out the net or the line. Just let it go. They have let out from their lives the love toward one another. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, you know, I'm paraphrasing it. Yes, you should love one another. Of course, he says, look at the world. They of the world love each other. And if you love one another, what's the big deal? Everybody does that. But he says, listen, take it further. Love your enemy. You cannot do that without Jesus. You may act like it from time to time, but it's false. You've got to love your enemy. Well, I can't do it. Join the club. I feel the same way. I can't do it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from a section in 1 John chapter 4, where the apostle writes about, well, you might call it love from above. Loving like God is the title of this presentation. Loving like God is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look through this New Testament letter written by the apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a quick reminder that every Monday night on hischannel.com, you can catch the latest Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, where Pastor Jack deals with just that, real life issues and topics, but through the lens of Scripture. Topics like international affairs, that includes Israel and her predominantly Islamic neighbors, prophecy, including past and future, politics and government, the military, and a whole lot more. All from a Judeo-Christian worldview. So check it out when you get a chance, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, one of our weekly television programs. It airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock Pacific Coast Time on hischannel.com. In fact, we've got a link to it at our own realradioactive.org, so go visit that if you would. Our telephone number, should you like to get a hold of us at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.